Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, October 26, 2021. Coming up this hour,
shares of Facebook rally on earnings despite more controversy around the company.
Tesla joins the $1 trillion club while Elon Musk's net worth passes Exxon.
Senate Democrats move closer to an agreement on President Biden's economic agenda.
And the U.S. and China make progress in economic talks.
A state of emergency as a nor'easter batters the tri-state. And we're learning more about the movie set shooting involving Alec Baldwin. I'm John Tucker. Details straight ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. A win for the Nets, a loss for the Rangers, and the World Series begins tonight. Braves and Astros in Houston.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
And good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by BNY Mellon's Pershing. Learn why the world's most sophisticated wealth management and institutional firms rely on Pershing to help them improve profitability, create efficiency, attract talent, and manage risk at Pershing.com.
And U.S. futures are higher to start the morning. 6:01 on Wall Street. I'm going to check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 19 points. Dow futures up 109. NASDAQ futures up 103. And the 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 1.62%. Yield on the two-year, 0.44%. Nathan.
All right, Karen, let's begin with earnings from Facebook. Continuing to watch those shares move higher in early trading, now up 3% after the company reported strong user growth. But it's not all rosy for the social network. Emily Chang has the details from our Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
Third quarter user growth for Facebook, Instagram, and WhatsApp was better than analysts had expected, as was profit. But it was a miss for revenue, and sales forecast also disappointed, with the company citing headwinds from Apple's restrictions on data collection and uncertainty with the post-pandemic economic recovery. All this as new details emerged from documents obtained by Bloomberg from whistleblower Frances Haugen that further bolster her claims that Facebook prioritized profit over user safety and security. In San Francisco, I'm Emily Chang, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Emily, thank you. Well, despite those gains for Facebook, it's been overtaken by Tesla. The electric car maker's market cap now exceeds Facebook by $100 billion. Bloomberg's Renita Young joins us live with more on that. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Karen. Tesla's value pushed past $1 trillion for the first time ever. It came after Hertz placed an order for $100,000 Teslas to electrify its rental car fleet. It's the single largest purchase ever for EVs. Meantime, as a result of the stock rally, the net worth of Tesla CEO Elon Musk, who's ranked as the world's richest person on the Bloomberg Billionaires Index, is now more valuable than ExxonMobil. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. Now, the slew of tech earnings continues today with Microsoft leading the pack, and we get a preview from Bloomberg's Tom Busby.
The software giant is expected to post earnings per share of $2.08 and revenue of $44 billion for the just completed first quarter. Of particular interest is Azure, its cloud computing unit, expected to show strong growth year over year. Also of note, sales of its Surface laptops expected to show a pretty sizable decline, and sales of its Xbox gaming system, both likely stymied by that global computer chip shortage and continued supply chain bottlenecks. Tom Busby, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Tom, thank you. Well, earnings in Europe this morning focus on UBS. Shares of the Swiss bank are up almost 1% after profit beat estimates and wealth management fees soared. UBS CEO Ralph Hamer says clients continue to invest, but they also appear cautious.
On one side, you see risk on. On the other side, you see the investor sentiment. To be a little bit, you know, careful around the inflation numbers that are coming up, and they're seeking advice as to, okay, how do I best protect my wealth against upcoming inflation?
Well, UBS CEO Ralph Hamers also tells us he's bullish on China and plans to invest more in the country.
Well, let's turn closer to home now, Karen, with the latest developments out of Washington. Senate Democrats are moving closer to a deal on President Biden's economic agenda, but some House lawmakers are still skeptical. Amy Morris has details from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
Senator Joe Manchin is expressing optimism that Democrats could reach a deal this week, the best sign yet for the president's domestic plan. But House Budget Chairman John Yarmuth says they're still negotiating parts of the plan and talks could extend beyond this week. In the Senate, Manchin says he supports a so-called billionaire's tax to help pay for the measure.
I'm open to any type of thing that makes people pay that's not paying now. So people that don't report income like you and I do and earned income, there has to be a way for them to pay their fair share.
But Manchin has not budged from his insistence that the price tag be limited to $1.5 trillion, and he's indicated actual legislation is far from being drafted. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Amy, thank you. Meantime, the White House is issuing new travel rules tied to the pandemic. Those coming into the U.S. will now require proof of vaccination or a negative test. We get the story from Bloomberg's Ed Baxter.
U.S. citizens and residents returning from abroad who are not vaccinated will have to obtain a negative COVID-19 test within a day of their flight. The U.S. will consider people arriving by plane vaccinated if they receive shots that are either authorized by the FDA or have emergency use listing from the World Health Organization. The move to a vaccine-based entry system brings the U.S. into line with the European Union. The new rules take effect November 8th and represent the biggest policy shift since the starting of the pandemic. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Ed. There's news this morning on U.S.-China relations. The two governments have made incremental progress in economic and trade negotiations. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen and China's Vice Premier Liu He held their second call in about 4 months. Beijing described the conversation as pragmatic, candid, and constructive. China has repeatedly said the U.S. should lift tariffs on Chinese exports imposed during the Trump administration.
And in Turkey, Nathan, there's word that President Erdogan is dropping his demand for 10 Western ambassadors to be expelled. Bloomberg Middle East correspondent Simone Foxman has the details.
Erdogan said that the foreign powers had walked back a joint demand last week that criticized the country's justice system and its ongoing detention of businessman Osman Kavala. Publicly, at least, the country's embassies issued a series of statements saying they comply with the convention meant to prevent diplomats from interfering in foreign affairs. But a U.S. spokesman suggested America wasn't backing away from its original statement.
And Bloomberg's Simone Foxman reports the Turkish lira erased most of its losses on the news.
S&P futures, Karen, up 19 points right now. Dow futures up 108. NASDAQ futures up 104 points. The 10-year Treasury yield 1.62%. Straight ahead, local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg. 6:07 on Wall Street, 58 degrees in Central Park with a flash flood watch in effect and an overturned tractor trailer still on eastbound Route 78 by exit 16. John Tucker's here with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. John?
And Nathan, New York and New Jersey have declared a state of emergency as a nor'easter brings high winds, thunderstorms, and heavy rain to the region. And Bloomberg meteorologist Gary Bass is in the Weather Center this morning. Gary, just how intense is this going to be?
Well, this storm is going to be intensifying off the coast of New England, so it's going to be far enough to the east so that we don't get a lot of wind out of this system, but we will get some moderate to heavy rain coming through, and several inches of rain seems quite likely around the city during today and during this evening as well, tapering off to the early showers on Wednesday. Windy conditions as well, but winds may be gusting up to near 40 to 50 miles an hour, with eastern Long Island getting the most wind out of this particular system.
Bloomberg meteorologist Gary Best. The state of emergency order helps the state mobilize resources and also pave the way for officials to possibly seek disaster aid. The National Labor Relations Board says there's sufficient interest to form a union at an Amazon distribution center on Staten Island. This is a key step in authorizing a vote that could establish the first union at the nation's largest online retailer. Back in April, workers at an Alabama facility overwhelmingly rejected forming a union. And we're learning about the alleged safety complaints against the assistant director who handed Alec Baldwin a prop gun loaded with a live bullet in New Mexico last week. David Halls was fired and escorted off a movie set in 2019 after a gun unexpectedly went off and injured a crew member. Prop gun maker Maggie Gall claimed she filed a complaint against Hall the same year on the set of a different project.
Those of us at the bottom were crying out, hey, bud, like, let's pump the brakes for a minute.
There hasn't been a comment from Halls as of yet. In the final days of the race for a New Jersey governor, incumbent Phil Murphy, a first-term Democrat, has raised $16 million ahead of the November 2nd election, while Republican challenger Jack Cittarelli has raised $13.1 million. Both candidates have spent more than $12 million, leaving Murphy with $3.5 million and Cittarelli with about $685,000 left. New Jersey and Virginia are the only U.S. states holding races for governor this year. Potential wins by Murphy and former Virginia Governor Terry McAuliffe could provide an early indicator of how Democrats will fare in the midterm elections. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, John. Just about 6:10 on Wall Street. Time for the Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Report with John Stashower.
Thanks, Nathan. Atlanta Braves, despite so many postseason appearances, have only won the World Series once. That was in 1995. They won only 88 regular season games, never got over 500 until August. Not only the fewest wins of any of the 10 playoff teams, but there were two teams who didn't make the playoffs who won more games. But they're in the World Series, and the Astros are in as well. They've only won the Fall Classic once. That was 4 years ago, a tainted title due to that sign-stealing scandal. Carlos Correa was asked if that's on their mind now.
I don't think we're playing here in the World Series because we're motivated to go out there and prove people that we're, you know, we're a really good team. We're just here because we worked really hard from the moment that we showed up to spring training, because the loss last year, one win away from the World Series was bittersweet, and we just want to really show the world that we're the best team out there.
Game one tonight in Houston is Framber Valdez against Charlie Morton. Monday Night Football in Seattle. Seahawks still without the injured Russell Wilson, and the Saints beat Seattle 13-10. Jets got word the knee injury suffered by quarterback Zach Wilson Sunday at New England will keep the rookie out 2 to 4 weeks. Jets had only one other QB on the roster, the relatively unknown Mike White, who made his NFL debut Sunday through 2 interceptions. They have brought back veteran Joe Flacco. He was with the Jets last season. He was a backup in Philadelphia, so the Jets sent the Eagles a late-round draft pick, not known if it'll be White or Flacco going Sunday against Cincinnati. The Rangers back at the Garden after a terrific road trip where they went 4-0, allowed a total of 5 goals. They gave up 5 last night. Lost to Calgary 5-1. The Nets beat Washington 104-90. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
All right, John, thanks. S&P futures up 19 points. Dow futures up 104. NASDAQ futures up 105 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Coming up to 6:12 on Wall Street, the Bloomberg Sports Report was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Let them help protect you, your family, and your business.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and a lot of breaking headlines in the last few minutes. Let's get through some of them. We're getting earnings from GE, third quarter profit beating analyst estimates. We also heard from UPS moments ago, and it also beat. Also out of China, sources telling Bloomberg Chinese authorities told the billionaire founder of China Evergrande to use his personal wealth to alleviate the group's deepening debt crisis. China also asking some firms to prepare for offshore bond payments. And another headline to pass on, TransUnion to sell its healthcare business for $1.735 billion in cash. We're watching futures this morning. They are higher. S&P futures up 19 points. Dow futures up 114. NASDAQ futures up 99. The DAX in Germany is up 1%. 10-year Treasury up 2/32, yield 1.62%. And the yield on the 2-year, 0.44%. And NYMEX crude oil is down 0.4% or 33 cents at $83.43 a barrel. It is 6:18 on Wall Street. It is time for your daily Bloomberg crypto update. It is brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Trade crypto for less coin with commissions just 12 to 18 basis points and no hidden spreads or markups. Learn more at ibkr.com/crypto. Now with the latest in crypto news, here's Bloomberg's Renita Young. Renita.
Karen, right now Bitcoin is trading close to 63,000. It's up for the fourth straight day, and Ethereum and Litecoin are also following. Bitcoin, it's been surging in popularity, but a study by the National Bureau of Economic Research shows its ownership is still concentrated in just a few hands. The top 10,000 individual investors in Bitcoin control about 1/3 of the cryptocurrency in circulation. Over in El Salvador, Bitcoin enthusiasts have only been using the token as digital tender since last month, and the government is already cracking down on speculators. The government's digital Bitcoin wallet, Chivo, removed a pricing feature that allowed users to make rapid profits on trades.
Meantime, Tampa Bay Buccaneers quarterback Tom Brady is gifting one Bitcoin to the fan who returned his 600th touchdown football. CBS reports that 29-year-old Byron Kennedy is also receiving season tickets and autographed memorabilia, all courtesy of the team. With your Bloomberg Crypto Report, I'm Renita Young. Karen?
All right, Renita, thank you. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. John.
Karen, the assistant director who handed Alec Baldwin the gun that killed a cinematographer last week had been fired from a previous job after a gun went off and wounded a member of the film crew. The Biden administration issuing new rules for travelers to the U.S. requiring proof of full vaccination. And Senate Democrats moving closer to an agreement on the president's economic agenda, but some House lawmakers are raising doubts about the terms of the deal. Monday Night Football, Saints beat the Seahawks 13-10. On the hardwood, the Nets beat the Wizards. Celtics also win, and on the ice, Rangers lose, the Capitals win. And it's game one of the World Series tonight. The Astros host the Braves. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg.
This is The Big Take, the best of Bloomberg's in-depth original reporting from around the globe.
We're running on a financial system that's running on old technology.
We're seeing house prices reach fresh record highs.
What unfolds in midterms, we will no doubt see again in the next presidential election.
The Big Take on Bloomberg Radio.
It's 6:21 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and our big take this morning focuses on working women, the risks and inequities they continue to face around the world, and the failures of some of the world's biggest cities to protect and support those women. For more on this, we're joined by Bloomberg's Ruth David, who co-wrote The Big Take along with Adam Bledford. Ruth, it's good to have you with us this morning. From what I understand, in this story, we ranked 15 global business cities when it comes to quality of life for women. What do we find?
Hi. So we looked at five metrics to rank them. We looked at safety, mobility, maternity, equality, and wealth. And Toronto came up top. But if you keep in mind the fact that all the rankings were out of five, no city got more than four. Toronto was at 3.6, and that was considered the best, or as we are putting it, the least bad. Sao Paulo came in at 2.6. And if you look at a city like New York, for instance, where there is possibly more equality in the workforce, but when it comes to maternity provisions, when it comes to safety on the streets, New York scores poorly. And the idea behind this was to look at some of the hub cities across the world that are considered magnets for workers to immigrate into and see how do they fare for working women. The answer is none of them do really well. And these are the good cities, or the cities where you would expect women have better rights, where you would expect that women find it easier to advance and they are more equal than some other parts of the world.
So not as good as you would expect, but progress being made. Is that a good way to look at this, or is there still a long way to go for women?
Absolutely, to progress being made. I would like to give you the example of Germany, for instance. And Germany, you would think that because they've had a woman leader for nearly two decades, it's very equal. That is not the case. But they are trying to make things better by encouraging companies, say, to report their wage gap, which makes women, which makes it easier for women to say, well, okay, I'm getting this much money and I should be getting X amount because my male colleague is earning, say, 40% more than me. And so in Brazil, let's take it, where safety is a huge issue, they've introduced laws around femicide. All of these countries are making small steps of progress, but there's still so much to be done. And one of the things that we found in the Asian cities was that safety is not an issue, right? And these cities are very mobile. They're easy to get around relatively, but their cultural barriers are holding women back, which is why we found in some data that Japan, for instance, has 13% of women in managerial positions, which is the lowest among all the 15 cities that we're looking at. And one of the huge barriers to that is culturally, women are not expected to be leaders. Women are not expected to work. The idea is that once a woman gets married, once she has children, she should step back from the workforce.
So this story makes rankings of these cities, imposes metrics, but metrics only tell part of the story. You spoke with women themselves about their experiences in these major cities. What are women telling you about how they're experiencing life in the workforce, how they feel about whether equality is something that is achievable?
It's interesting because some of these women have been doing their jobs since, say, the 1970s.
Wall Street, and this is Bloomberg Daybreak, and we're just about 3 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. With shares of Facebook up 2% in early trading, the company's earnings showed more people actively using its network than analysts predicted. Facebook is also pledging to buy back as much as $50 billion in stock. At the same time, CEO Mark Zuckerberg used the earnings call to address allegations that the company puts profit above ethics.
What we are seeing is a coordinated effort to selectively use leaked documents to paint a false picture of our company.
Mark Zuckerberg says Facebook's latest focus is building on the metaverse, a term used to describe a digital environment where people spend time in virtual worlds.
Well, meantime, Karen, Facebook has been overtaken by Tesla. The electric car maker's market cap now exceeds Facebook's by $100 billion. And Bloomberg's Renita Young joins us live with more on that. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Nathan. Tesla's value pushed past $1 trillion for the first time ever yesterday. It came after Hertz placed an order for 100,000 Teslas to electrify its rental car fleet. Meantime, as a result of the stock rally, the net worth of Tesla CEO Elon Musk, who's ranked the world's richest person on the Bloomberg Billionaires Index, is now more valuable than ExxonMobil. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. And you're up this morning. Shares of UBS up almost 1%. The Swiss bank joined its Wall Street rivals in posting profit that beat estimates.
Back here in the U.S., Karen, Senate Democrats have moved closer to an agreement on President Biden's economic agenda. Senator Joe Manchin says there could be a deal this week. Now, House Democrats are skeptical, but not Al Green. The Texas Democratic congressman tells us he does expect an agreement.
We will pass infrastructure and reconciliation. That's what our goal is, and we'll get there. It may not be what we wanted, all of what we wanted, but it will be something significant.
Congressman Al Green spoke with our Washington correspondent, Joe Matthew, on Bloomberg Sound On. You can catch the program weekdays at 5 p.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Radio.
There's also news this morning on U.S.-China relations. The two governments have made some incremental progress in economic and trade negotiations. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen and China's Vice Premier Liu He held their second call in about 4 months. Beijing described the conversation as pragmatic, candid, and constructive. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Innovalon, a leading provider of cloud-based platforms empowering data-driven healthcare for insurance companies, physicians, pharmacy, and pharmaceutical companies. Innovalon, data has a story to tell. Innovalon gives it a voice. We continue to watch earnings this morning. It's been a busy morning for earnings. Eli Lilly reporting a third-quarter profit that missed analyst estimates by 1 cent, but it did boost its outlook for the year, and Xerox's third-quarter profit beating analyst estimates. And again, those earnings are still crossing the Bloomberg. We're hearing from 3M as well. Its third quarter profit looks like it also beat analyst estimates. And our top stories, our local headlines are straight ahead. This is Bloomberg.
6:33 on Wall Street. Rain, 58 degrees in Central Park, and a lot of flooded roads this morning. We'll get the details in traffic just ahead. First, John Tucker with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Trying to stay dry this morning, John.
Absolutely, Nathan. States of emergency have been declared in New Jersey and New York in anticipation of flooding from the nor'easter that's sweeping through the tri-state. Bloomberg meteorologist Gary Bast is in the Weather Center this morning. Gary, just how much of a rainmaker is this going to be?
John, a storm system is going to become very intense, well off to our east, southeast of Cape Cod. So what that's going to do is bring in some moderate to heavy rain through today, the heaviest rain likely this morning into this afternoon. And we could see a total of about 2 to 5 inches of rain, even isolated spots a bit more than that. As the storm gradually pulls away, the rain will diminish a bit tonight. And the winds will stay rather brisk, although the heaviest, strongest winds will be across eastern Long Island. John?
All right, Gary Best, thanks a lot. Well, Mayor de Blasio says he does not expect the same type of flash flooding that killed 11 people in their basements back in September. U.S. undergraduate college enrollment continues to fall. Let's get details in this report from Bloomberg's Lisa Mateo.
Higher education continues to suffer from falling birth rates and the impact of the pandemic. U.S. undergraduate college enrollment dropped 3.2% from the previous fall. And according to data released today by the National Student Clearinghouse Research Center, the number of undergraduate students has fallen 6.5% since 2019. Doug Shapiro, executive director of the agency, says far from filling the hole of last year's enrollment declines, we are still digging it deeper. Among the most selective private nonprofit schools, enrollment increased 4.3%. In New York, I'm Lisa Mateo, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And New York City's police union suing to block a vaccine mandate for municipal workers that Mayor de Blasio implemented last week. The BBA says the mandate was far broader and more coercive than several similar measures taken by the federal government. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg Nathan.
Thank you, John. 6:35 on Wall Street, time for the Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Report with John Stashower.
All right, Nathan, the Braves have suffered a lot of postseason heartbreak over the years. Now a chance to win only their second World Series since the move to Atlanta. The other came in 1995. Braves and Astros start the World Series tonight in Houston, where 72-year-old Dusty Baker's got a chance to win his first title as a manager. He's had postseason heartbreak, especially 2002, as Giants led the Angels 3-2 and led Game 6 5-0 in the seventh inning. Dusty played for the Braves. That's where he formed a close relationship with the late Hank Aaron.
He had a tremendous impact, not only on the baseball field, but on my life and in my family and in my business. And, I'll be forever grateful, to him.
Framber Valdez, who dominated the Red Sox last time out, goes tonight against Charlie Morton, who was on the mound in Houston when they won the World Series. In 2017, Morton also pitched in the World Series last year with Tampa Bay. Meanwhile, Associated Press reports an owner lockout is a near certainty in December. That would halt all offseason moves. Seattle Mariners announced their greatest player ever, Ken Griffey Jr., has joined their ownership group. Griffey called it a dream come true. Rangers should have stayed on the road. They went 4-0 on the trip, came home, lost to Calgary 5-1. Nets beat Washington 104-90. Monday Night Football, New Orleans won at Seattle 13-10. The Jets have reacquired veteran quarterback Joe Flacco from Philadelphia. He was needed due to the Zach Wilson knee injury that's going to sideline the rookie 2 to 4 weeks. Flacco started 4 games for the Jets last season. John Stash and we're at Bloomberg Sports.
Thanks, John. 6:37 on Wall Street. Time to take a look at stocks. Some of the names moving in the pre-market. Bloomberg Stocks editor Dave Wilson's with us this morning. Dave, Facebook continues to be a stock to watch.
Absolutely. And today it's because the shares are moving higher. They're up 2.5% in early trading. The social media company's third quarter results showed more people are using its apps than analysts expected in a Bloomberg survey. Facebook pledged to buy back as much as $50 billion in stock. All that outweighed concern tied to reports on internal documents disclosed by whistleblower Francis Haugen. And we should note there are going to be a couple more big tech earnings coming up today after the close. One set of results from Alphabet, Google's owner. That stock up about 1% in early trading. And the other from Microsoft, which is higher by 0.5%.
Yeah, obviously big tech in focus this morning, but you got to wonder whether any of these big tech names are going to catch Tesla at this point.
Well, Tesla's giving them a little chance to catch up, you might say. The shares are down 1% in early trading. That said, the electric car maker's still above $1 trillion in market value, a threshold that it surpassed for the first time yesterday. Tesla climbed 13% after people familiar with the matter said rental car service Hertz ordered 100,000 vehicles for its fleet. Amazon.com, since we're talking big tech, up 2%. The online retailer said in a blog post that it's added drivers, warehouses, and planes to handle an expected crush of orders in the coming weeks. Amazon is seeking to reduce its reliance on the U.S. Postal Service and United Parcel Service. And speaking of UPS, those shares are up 2%. The package delivery service's third quarter earnings and revenue surpassed estimates. UPS benefited from better than expected results in its supply chain business. Some more earnings to talk about. Eli Lilly up 0.75%. The drug maker's earnings last quarter trailed the average estimate, yet really raised this year's profit forecast. 3M up 2%. The manufacturer posted third quarter profit and revenue that beat estimates. 3M raised the low end of its annual sales forecast, though it cut the high end of its profit projection. General Electric, GE, up 1%. Third quarter earnings, the maker of jet engines and other industrial equipment, topped estimates. GE raised this year's profit forecast. Hasbro up 1.5%. The toy maker's profit last quarter beat estimates, even though sales only matched the average projection. Centene, though, down 1.5%. The health insurer reduced the high end of this year's earnings forecast after posting third quarter results. TransUnion's up 4.5%. The credit reporting service agreed to sell its healthcare business for about $1.75 billion and also agreed to buy cybersecurity company Santique for $638 million. Marqeta's up 4.5%. The supplier of prepaid debit cards agreed to work with Uber's freight business. The deal also involves a digital wallet service called Branch. Terms weren't disclosed. And I got one more for you. It seems to be the stock of the week so far. Bakkt Holdings, that's B-A-K-K-T, up 38% today after surging 234% yesterday. All this happening at the cryptocurrency marketplace after Bakkt agreed to work with MasterCard and financial processor Fiserv.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt crypto. Bloomberg Stocks editor Dave Wilson, thank you as always for keeping us on top of a very busy earnings week. S&P futures right now up 17 points, Dow futures up 120, and NASDAQ futures higher by 85 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. We're coming up to 6:41 on Wall Street. The Bloomberg Sports Report was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Let them help protect you, your family, and your business.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Futures rising this morning on this busy morning for corporate earnings. We go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are in the green as those companies continue to report. Dow's currently up 120 points. S&P futures rise 18. NASDAQ futures rise by 86. The U.S. 10-year yield at 1.62%. Gold is little changed. Japan rose 1.8% overnight. While European markets are also trading higher, led by 1% gains in Germany. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 10 o'clock, new home sales, consumer confidence, and Richmond Fed. After the bell last night, Facebook reported it is trading higher by 2.7% in the pre-market. And regarding some of those earnings this morning, 3M EPS beat estimates. UPS also beat estimates. Eli Lilly boosted fiscal year adjusted EPS views. And GE Industrial free cash flow beat estimates. In deal news, TransUnion to sell its healthcare business for $1.735 billion in cash. And wrapping things up, Intel was cut to market perform at BMO. Upstart cut to hold over at Jefferies. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. John.
And Karen, Senate Democrats move closer to an agreement on President Biden's economic agenda, but somehow lawmakers are raising doubts about the terms of the deal. The Biden administration issuing new rules for travelers to the U.S. requiring proof of full vaccination. And the assistant director who handed Alec Baldwin the gun that killed a cinematographer last week had been fired from a previous job after a gun went off and wounded a member of the film crew. And sports, game one of the World Series tonight, the Astros host the Braves. Monday Night Football, the Saints beat the Seahawks 13-10. On the hardwood, the Nets beat the Wizards. The Celtics also win. On the ice, the Rangers lose and the Capitals win. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries, I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
Stop playing nice with Russian computer hackers. I'm Tim O'Brien, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. Russian hackers are still rummaging through global computer networks despite headline-grabbing Russian and Chinese attacks over the past several months that should have prompted corporations to tighten security and the White House to take more pointed and forceful action. Targets haven't just been mighty corporations and rival governments. Schools, colleges, fire and police departments, hospitals, laboratories, and other institutions have also come under routine attack. The federal government should issue regulatory requirements for all enterprises, regardless of size, to publicize the details of any hack and to submit to outside audits of their computer security protocols. For its part, the White House should stop hoping for the best from nation states eager to wreak digital havoc. Responding to hacks by bouncing some diplomats out of the country is a good first step, and firing mild economic sanctions across the Kremlin's bow is fine. But there's no reason not to show a little more muscle now before another digital salvo lands on our shores. I'm Tim O'Brien. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or O-P-I-N go on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And Bloomberg Opinion commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time, and terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. It is 6:50 on Wall Street. Let's turn to news and science and technology now with a Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. It is brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, ranked a top 50 national public university by U.S. News and World Report. Learn more at njit.edu. Now here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. The U.N. is warning the world is still heading for catastrophic levels of global warming, even after recent national climate pledges. The group says without stronger targets, the world will warm 2.7 degrees Celsius by the year 2100. The temperature increases will far exceed the goal of keeping warming below 2 degrees Celsius and preferably 1.5 degrees laid out in the Paris Agreement. Officials say a target for rich countries to provide poor nations with $100 billion in aid each year to tackle global warming will be missed. Senior officials from Canada and Germany, who were tasked with breaking a deadlock in negotiations ahead of next week's UN climate summit, announced that current data shows the goal won't be reached until 2023, 3 years later than agreed. And higher education in the U.S. is suffering from falling birth rates in the coronavirus pandemic. Undergraduate college enrollment fell 3.2% from a year ago. The number of international students fell by more than 8%. And that's a Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. Nathan.
Okay, Karen, thanks. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. We're at 6:52 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include President Biden's agenda picking up steam in the Senate while the House has its doubts, the U.S. and China holding talks, and the president lending a hand to Terry McAuliffe in Virginia after the Democrat tried to keep his distance. For more on all these stories, we're joined by Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins. So, Emily, how about a daily progress report on the president's agenda on Capitol Hill?
So things are moving, according to lawmakers, in terms of negotiations around climate, around taxes, about how those pieces are ultimately going to fit into the bill. But there's still a lot of work left to do, Nathan, and it's a very short time frame. President Biden wants to see some sort of agreement done before he boards a plane Thursday to go to Rome and then to go to the UN climate summit in Glasgow. And that's really not a lot of time for a framework to come together here. And you heard some Democrats say that last night, that they didn't think that there would be an agreement by the end of the week and that negotiations would need to go into next week. But actually bringing the optimism was Senator Joe Manchin, who said that he thinks that Democrats could had a potential deal this week, that he is seeing progress and that he does think they could potentially get there. Either way, we are seeing movement. We are seeing things be cut from the bill. We are seeing other options be considered to some of the clean energy programs that were cut. And it does seem like at this point, Democrats are the goal for everyone is just to get to yes.
So are progressives in the House still holding firm to their wish that a framework gets agreed to on the social infrastructure side before they can vote on the bipartisan hard infrastructure bill?
Yes, that is something that Democrats in the House have continued to push for. It's something we've heard consistently from the Progressive Caucus. I will say that their goalposts have moved a little bit. They previously said that they wanted the Senate to be the ones to go ahead and pass that social spending bill before before the House would pass infrastructure. And now we're hearing them say that, you know, we'll be okay passing both bills together so long as we have an agreement from the Senate that they will take up and vote on something. So that leaves the door open for infrastructure to pass a little bit sooner than it might have otherwise.
So if I'm hearing you right, Emily, it sounds like the sticking points really are still focused on the climate provisions and taxes, how to pay for this huge piece of legislation. Where are we on the tax side of it?
So on the tax side of it, it does seem like the increase to the corporate taxes are out. That's not going to be something that's going to happen at this point. And this is really major. I mean, President Biden and other Democrats ran on rolling back President Trump's 2017 tax cuts. And this now is something that the Democrats aren't doing. They're looking at other alternatives to raise taxes on billionaires. They're looking at things such as a taxing on values and their gains that some billionaires hold. They're looking at a potential tax just on those who make more than $1 billion a year. They're looking at taxes about just a couple other things that would really mostly apply to these major corporations and the extremely wealthy. But there are lots of questions exactly how these taxes would be implemented. A lot of them have never been tried before, and there's still lots of question marks around this process.
Okay, I want to turn to the phone call we've been reporting on between Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen and her Chinese counterpart. What do we know about that?
So we know that it was discussing the upcoming trade deal, and we know at this point that the phone call has gone well. The Chinese described it as pragmatic, candid, and constructive. And this really is starting to be part of a turn in the U.S.-China relationship that we've seen after President Joe Biden and President Xi Jinping spoke last month. And you have seen other progress in the relationship as well. The U.S. offered a deal to release the former Huawei's technologies chief financial officer, which was something that Beijing has been pushing for a while. And this is all coming as the two countries are both working and focused on climate goals, and something that certainly both countries want to see the other make progress on.
Only about 30 seconds left here, Emily, but the Virginia governor's race is going to get a lot more national attention tonight with President Biden on the campaign trail.
Yes. So this comes after the Virginia Democratic nominee, Terry McAuliffe, recently sort of poo-pooed Biden, said that, you know, he had low polling numbers and he wasn't doing very well in the state. But you know what, Nathan, for some of these elections, especially ones on the off year, you're trying to really appeal to the base of voters. So McAuliffe has to appeal to core Democrats in Virginia, and enough for a number of them, Biden's popular. He is the president. They did vote for him a year ago. And so he's hoping that by bringing Biden out on the campaign trail, he can get a boost. Right now, the race between Democrat Terry McAuliffe and Republican Glenn Youngkin, it's really close. They're very much neck to neck. And this is something that both parties see as a very big race to determine what the tone is going to be for the upcoming 2022 midterm.
Thanks for all this. Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins with us from the nation's capital this morning. Right now, S&P futures are up 18 points. Dow futures up 129. NASDAQ futures up 87 points. Bloomberg surveillance is straight ahead. For Karen Moscow, I'm Nathan Hager, and this is Bloomberg.